conversations from the front lines of marketing. This is B2B Growth. Thrilled to have Amisha Gandhi with me today on the show. She is the Senior Vice President of Marketing over at Tipalti. And prior to that, she spent 11 years at SAP in varying roles, including Head of Global Influencer Marketing and Demand Gen, as well as time as the Global VP of Marketing and Communications. Amisha, pleasure to have you on B2B Growth with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk about influencer and marketing.
Yes. I know you actually sit at a couple very fascinating intersections to me, and we'll explore that a bit, but I want to tap into your wisdom because one of those intersections is influencer marketing and being a VP of marketing. So there's this like specific perspective that others may not be privy to. How has your work around influencer marketing specifically kind of shaped your thinking on B2B marketing at large?
So It's an interesting intersection because I think when people think about influencer marketing, they think about it from a social media standpoint and a brand awareness standpoint. When you have marketing as a whole bucket, you look at marketing as a revenue generating piece of the pie for the company. And so that's how I look at influencer marketing, is how does it help across that entire customer journey, the entire prospect journey, customer advocacy. But that's all the different pieces of the customer journey. So that also includes demand gen. And a lot of people find that interesting because what do you mean you use influencer marketing for demand gen? Well, don't you use content marketing for demand gen? Don't you use, right? So it's the same thing. Yeah. It's just a different mindset of how you can make the practice of influencer marketing help you drive revenue for the company.
Okay, so then rewind for me for a second in your journey, because did you ever have a time where you sort of equated influencer marketing to social? Because if you haven't really dove into it, I understand why most people kind of start and stop there. They just like chalk it up to being a social thing. How did you develop your thinking around this?
Well, it was before I joined SAP many moons ago. I did B2C marketing. And part of that marketing mix was at that time blogger relations. And so an affiliate marketing, right? Online affiliate ad marketing. And so in working with B2C bloggers and having them join affiliate programs to close and sell product, really stuck with me that people who have influence can get people to buy things. And that we see that on the B2C side, it's a clear value proposition, right? And we don't see that so much on the B2B side. And then moving over to SAP and doing the variety of marketing roles that I did, you know, including product and demand and everything else, really made me think about, well, what are the influences across that journey? And how could we bring influencers in? And I started that when I was running mobile product marketing and mobile marketing at SAP and brought some influencers to Mobile World Congress. And we did some videos, and those videos got higher views, higher web traffic, higher everything. And so that got me to think, well, could we bring them into demand gen? And so started to think about assets that we could bring influencers into. And those assets tended to do better. They had higher engagement. So knowing that really got me thinking, well, influencer marketing could become a marketing discipline practice for demand gen, as well as awareness. Because social can help drive some of that pull and push to kind of pull people to your site or pull people to a campaign.
Yep.
And it also gives you awareness, right? So it's a two for one deal. But your main focus should be, how am I going to help drive DG, or how am I going to help drive a campaign?
Yeah, tying it to actual business results.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then lo and behold, I didn't have a role at SAP anymore. And I was pitching this role around the company, and the head of DG at that time said, yeah, I'll give you a shot. I'll give you a role, but no budget and no team. So I started from scratch, and I built a bit, you know, there's a business case already built in, and I had a little bit of statistics at SAP from the mobile marketing days, was able to bring that in and then really build a program on that.
Okay. So now as you see it and having done the work, if you're like defining influencer marketing for us in the B2B space specifically, what would you say? How would you define influencer marketing as it pertains to B2B?
I think influencer marketing can be used as a tool, just like content marketing, across your entire customer journey, your prospect journey, and your customer journey. right? So if you think about all the touch points that are in your prospect journey, what are you creating? What are you trying to do? And how can you bring influencers in along that can really help you boost engagement, boost results? So for example, to bring it to life for everybody, I did an ebook at SAP for a launch, and it was an interactive ebook. It had 30 influencers in it across many different types of enterprise technology topics. Mm-hmm. Each page, that asset could be shared holistically on any channel because there's little buttons, but you could also share only the influencer you really liked, what they said or what they had to, you know, their thought leadership, and only share that piece and not just the asset. So it was easy to share. It was easy to digest. It was something that the influencers could have on their iPad, iPhone, wherever they were out and about, and they could access it and also share it. So we had all 30 influencers were able to share the asset because they thought it was really neat as well. They shared it with their networks. We also, you know, pushed it out on all of our networks. And when we came to launch day, it just boomed. And it was on the landing page for what we were launching for over a year and a half because it just did so well. We were able to keep using it and then built a program. So that's the first touch point. We got somebody in. There was a survey attached to it as a CTA, if you will, right? There was also other surround sound content around it. So once you finish with that and you went away, it said, oh, do you want to join this webinar with this influencer, right? So we started having add-on pieces as we went through the process. So then it was a webinar. Then it was, hey, we noticed that you really love this piece, this asset. Are you? And we know that you're located in Germany. We will all be here in Germany at this event. Would you like to attend? Or we're doing this show in Chicago. We noticed you're in Chicago and you really like this asset. Come meet us here. So it was able to create those different touch points and bring it all together. So then that kept people interested, engaged throughout the year. And we found that it had 3x the amount of leads that I got from anything else. And not just leads, but opportunities, right? Because we really care. Leads we can buy all day, right? But we really care about the opportunities. It bought 3x the amount of opportunities with 6x the amount of engagement. And it was like over 1,000% increase in actual web traffic at 21 million views. And these are not just people coming to the page. It's actually somebody looking at a page and doing an action.
Right.
So that's unheard of in B2B, right? And just a few weeks, because usually it's, you know, that's for consumer. You can get that one day. Easy.
I like this as a use case. I wonder where I want to zoom in on for a second is like, what was the ongoing relationship like with these thought leaders? And how did you kind of collect that? Because I think that would be a common thing that might stand in the way if you've never tried this before. Is like, okay, I might be able to identify a few key players in my space, but like, how is it mutually beneficial? And how are we actually getting this all lined up? So can you let us into that a little bit?
That's a really great point. And I think doing this asset was the first time that we have worked with influencers, right? The first thing that we did was an ebook, and it was an interactive, which is a standard ebook with four influencers writing four articles. You have to start somewhere, and you have to start small because you will have to test what works for you, who works with you, right? And who is going to really do a sharing and who's actually, maybe their content will do better, right? So then you know what's actually working. So you always want to do a test pilot like that before you just kind of go all in, right? You're not going to create an influencer marketing program overnight and have like hundreds of people. Either in B2B or B2C, it's a build. So on the B2B side, you really want to think about who are the people that are influencing people in your ICP, which is your ideal customer profile. You know, for me, at Tipalti, for example, it is CFOs and controllers and accountants and chief product officers and sometimes IT, right? So it depends on who is the persona I'm going after. Who do they follow? Mm-hmm. Who are they influenced by? Okay, great. Let's pick CFO personality. Who are the people that most CFOs follow? These can be people, conferences, people who have written books. It can be academics, analysts. It's a wide variety of people. Other former CFOs, right? Things like that. Your own customers, because peer-to-peer influence is the strongest.
Right.
Find a good array of people, and then you start having some conversation. You identify someone, you go look at where they're speaking or if they've written something. If they have a certain amount of influence online, that's great. But I wouldn't look at the number of followers. I would look at how much engagement they have. Who is following them? Are people in your ICP following them? great. For me, LinkedIn is the place to be if you're in B2B to actually get business out of it, right? So then you take all of the information and then you can reach out and say, I'm putting together a program, or I'm thinking together a program. I really like the things that you've had to say about X, Y, and Z. You know, really great audience. Would love to have a conversation about how we might work together. And you do a little intro about your company and what you're doing. But, you know, really, you don't want to say, I'm doing a campaign that does this. And are you going to be able to push this out for me? That's the wrong way to start any really. You don't ask somebody to marry you if you've never met them, right? So you do the same thing here. You're building that relationship. So build a relationship, find out how they like to work with companies. You can even say, I'm thinking about this kind of a campaign. What do you think? And the feedback you also get from influencers can make your campaigns even better, because they know your audience way better than you do and how to build an audience. They've done it. So you bring all that together and then you start having these conversations. You do some assets or you do some journeys with them. You do a program with them. And then you find out, okay, I did that program with 4 influencers, for example. I found out 3 of them really promoted it, really were engaged themselves, got their audience engaged. And we found they drove a lot more traffic to our asset than the one person didn't really do a lot of promotion, right? But they drove the number one amount of responses and form fills.
Oh, wow.
So it doesn't, you have to think about the outcome is, right? So then we said, okay, I think we have 4 good people. We need to keep an eye on so-and-so. So we talked to the person who didn't, you know, you didn't pay me to promote. You only paid me for the writing and I'm really busy. I'm in demand. You have to pay me for my time. So I said, great. How about, you know, instead of, you know, can we pay you for, you know, what makes sense for your audience, right? Because you don't, and he was really honest and said, I want to do 3 blog posts in the next 6 months and it's X amount. And then we talked about it. And so then he did that for the webinar series. We asked him to come back and he did those 3 blog posts for each webinar that, you know, that kind of companion that went with that. And it did well, right? And the other 3 were able to add in and uplift. So you have to think about it that way, right? You can't just look at, oh, somebody has 10,000 followers, somebody has 4,000. Therefore, you know what? I'm going to go with that influencer. Nope. It's the engagement that you get. And you won't know until you try it out. There are some influencers that have so many followers and then we work with them and they're great. And people actually come because they're a draw for our audience, but they don't really drive a lot to our site or to the registration or whatever we're doing themselves, right? But then there's other influencers who don't have that as many followers or even an online presence, really, which is shocking, but there is that in B2B. And they drive a lot of reg, they drive a lot of attendance just because their audience might be even more engaged. You know, you have to do some of that and then do your own ROI analysis and then come back that this influencer is great. Now, one influencer may be great for one company. And then for another company, it may not be because it's a different persona or that audience is influenced in a different way. So it's not one size fits all, which is what makes this kind of interesting, but also sometimes makes you want to pull your hair out too, right? So you have to keep looking at that and say, okay, now after a bit of time, you will develop a bench of influencers to work with. And that relationship is an ongoing relationship. So it doesn't mean that you're always paying them and they're doing stuff for you, but it's ongoing in the sense you check in with them. What are you working on? Where are you speaking? How can I help you? Sometimes if you're at a big brand, there's stuff you can do to help them make introductions to other businesses, make introductions to other influencers. There's other things you can do besides just, hey, what can you do for me and my brand? Because then you're really building a true relationship. It's a two-way street.
Yep. I see it. 2 things there that are really interesting to me. One, well, I guess both, we really preach on B2B growth quite a bit, but that relationship aspect, we speak to a lot of people that are in the podcasting realm and you'll get pitched all day by people that want to come on your show. And it's like absolutely hilarious to me how much the focus is on what they want from you versus what they can offer and how it can be mutually beneficial. And any content that you're going to create with anyone, whether it's a thought leader or even if it's just in a small niche and they don't have a ton of followers, but you want to create an asset together, like show how it's mutually beneficial. And that's a greater way to like kick off that relationship. I think the other component that's really interesting to me as you're talking about influencer marketing is we are living through a time right now where people are tightening their belts. We're seeing layoffs. So there might be some pushback, at least internally, as people listen to this conversation and they go, man, if this was 2 years ago, this sounds awesome. But now, how is this going to fit in with 2023 when I know we're going to have to go with more of like an account-based marketing approach? We're going to have to be really focused on the types of accounts we want to go after. So I thought it'd be important for us to talk about how these things actually can work in tandem. How can ABM, if that's the play you're really running, be amplified in a way if you can also tag in some influencer marketing? Could you speak to that a bit?
Sure. So everyone is, it's all about efficiency and focus in this next coming up, right? And we're already in the recession, right? To be honest, people are already cutting back. So when you think about dysfunction as being part of your entire marketing mix, you can't think of it as a lost leader, right? And if you have not done it yet and you want to try it out, then you take a very small percentage of, you know, if you're going to spend X amount with an agency to create an asset, maybe you take some of that and you apply it to including an influencers, a couple of influencers into that asset, and you still run your same ABM programs. You're not adding a lot, any more cost. You're just being more efficient of how you're moving your funds around. And it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It can just be several thousand dollars. And you could try it in one asset. You get the ROI and then you see if it worked. And where I think people fall down, even when they use influencers and, you know, work with influencers, bring them into the mix, it's a one-off. They're like, okay, we're in just one asset and now everything's going to fall into place. It's not. I did that one asset and we got some lift, but because I attached a webinar and then something else, it became an entire playbook, an entire campaign. So when you're looking at your entire integrated campaign, think of where you can put that social media card into your paid social that has that influencer's quote instead of you kind of spouting it out, or it has your customer quote. It's not you. And you make it much more customer facing and more peer-to-peer influence facing. That will get you much better bang for your buck than a card that says, look at this ebook, download it now. You're going to get a lot less clicks that way. So you're actually making it more efficient if you do it correctly. But you need to make sure that when you do this, you connect all the dots. If you just do a one-off, that's the results you're going to get. So if you invite to one webinar and have one social media card, that's not really going to work. You should attach a piece of content and create an email strategy around it. So it goes into your nurture strategy stream. It goes into your paid social stream. It goes into your organic social. It goes into your, on your website. It goes on a PPC page. So you're tying all these things together. So you're making it much more value driven. And so that few thousand dollars that you spent with an influencer all of a sudden now has maximum reach and value for you.
Yep. Okay. So like in the example you gave where it was four influencers, they're each writing something for you. Are you just taking pieces of that that you can then chop up and put at different pieces in the funnel? Or how have you sort of repurposed appropriately to not just be a clickbait thing like, oh, I like that person, I'm going to click top of funnel, but like, let's talk more as they're getting closer to a buying decision, how you've repurposed that strategically in some creative ways.
You can repurpose it into an email. So your AEs and folks have access to it and they can put it into either a presentation or they can put it into an email. Hey, it was great to talk to you. Here's some great things that people are saying, not about us, but about the topic, and you put together some of those quotes in there, and then you have links in there to whatever asset it is or the page that you're, you know, the campaign page, so people can feel engaged. If it's a video, you can put a snippet in there, embed it, part of it. So you have those different pieces chopped in there. You can put it into your ABM program. For example, you know, we had one influencer doing, you know, an ebook with us and, you know, a bunch of them. And then we had a fun email chain, you know, a couple of emails that we put together. And the first email is a cameo of a celebrity from Cameo, inviting everybody from, like, I think that show Silicon Valley, the investor guy, right? That, you know, is a sham really. But because we're in finance, we thought we'd do tongue in cheek. And yeah, so that's awesome. We did that. And we had just got a round of funding too. So it was very funny. And everyone thought it was really cool. You know, it was a fun, smart, snappy thing to do. And that was the first email. And then it went to the influencer content, right? And it was just a different string of emails and anyone can use it. We use it in our nurture program, but then it was available to our AEs as well. Like, hey, you know, we just got a funny, thought you'd find this funny, right? And it just keeps somebody engaged in the cycle and coming back for more. Or if somebody's gone dark, you know, putting them into an ABM program with some direct mail and the cameos used for the direct mail, you know, come join me, you know, at this time, or, hey, come, you know, receive this and we'll do a, you know, we'll do a demo, or, hey, we, you know, you did the demo and, you know, want to see, we, here's another great piece of content that might be, you know, make your job easier as we're heading into the recession, something like that, right? So you can break things up in a way that you can add a different kind of umbrella, but then you have that asset kind of supporting in many different ways, even though you're, you could have come like five different emails with the same sort of video.
Love it. Well, I think this is super insightful. I like the use, and I like how you have broke down in this conversation different ways to go beyond just like top of funnel. There's way too many organizations in the B2B space that only see influencer marketing as social sort of top of funnel plays or like good brand awareness. I wonder, as we start to wrap up here, Amisha, if someone's leaving this conversation going, okay, this is definitely something we're going to experiment with in 2023, are there any major like lessons you've learned or common pitfalls that maybe people fall into that you would just kind of speak to as we start to wrap up? I want to kind of give you an opportunity to speak to how we should implement this well.
Sure. When you're thinking about influencer marketing, look at your entire campaign mix and your customer journey touch points and decide where you have holes or where you're not getting a pull, and think about how you might map that out, include, and kind of what I say, infuse, right? Just like you infuse content marketing, other parts of marketing all the way throughout. Think about it that way. And then think about what the outcome is that you're seeking. Are you seeking more brand awareness? Are you seeking more form fills? Are you seeking, you know, getting, you know, making your ABM program stronger? Like, where are the things that you're going to use this, and what are the outcomes you expect? And put that down. And then work backwards onto the who and the what you're going to do. You need to know your outcome first, just like you do for any campaign. And then you need to back in. And then the who you work with becomes really clear based on what you're trying to do and where you're trying to do it in your campaign. And then you test. You don't test with 30 people, right? That shouldn't be your first time out, you know, unless you have oodles of money laying around, which I don't think anybody is right now. But you start with a handful of people, you take along, you figure out who is going to work with your brand really well. And then you do ROI constantly, and then say, okay, this brought in better ROI. This piece did not. Now we know what's working, what's not. And then don't be able to, you know, the other thing is reuse the materials. And the last thing is, don't just rely on the influencers to push out the content. You also have to work equally hard, and if not harder. And then just because you launched it and they're not promoting anymore doesn't mean you should constantly be promoting it too. Mm-hmm. Tagging and all the good things. And if you do paid social, include that as well. If you do all those things, then you're upholding your end of the bargain too. You can't just wait for the influencer to do it, because it won't work as well. It just won't.
Love it. It's been a really fascinating conversation. Thanks for enlightening us. And I want to give you a chance here as we close to just talk about how people can stay connected to you, and then also talk a little bit about the work that Tipalti does and where we can find more information.
Sure. I'm easily found on LinkedIn, Amisha Gandhi. I'm on Twitter too, but you know how that might be different. So just find me on LinkedIn for B2B. That's where everything's at, right? So that's pretty easy. And then, you know, come to Tipalti.com and check us out. We are a fintech company. We're in the accounts payable and payments space. So if you think about, we're talking about influencers, a lot of our customers are big influencer networks and big ad networks. So we help people get paid out, whether it's invoice back or non-invoice back payments.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for your time. And as we close today, for everybody listening, remember, we're not just trying to be visible, we're trying to be memorable. Affinity beats awareness. And for all things B2B growth, you can go to b2bgrowthshow.com. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Benji Block. Thanks for listening. B2B Growth is brought to you by the team at Sweetfish Media. Here at Sweetfish, we produce podcasts for some of the most innovative brands in the world. And we help them turn those podcasts into micro videos, LinkedIn content, blog posts, and more. We're on a mission to produce every leader's favorite show. Want more information? Visit sweetfishmedia.com.